Today's daf is Yuma Daf Tes Zayin. We left off on Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. Today's daf really requires a basic working knowledge of what the Beis Hamikdash looked like. In order to picture what's going on in today's daf, it's important to have some sort of picture book. I'll hold up pictures whenever I can. I've got a picture book right here. But it requires some knowledge of what the Beis Hamikdash looked like, because we're going to discuss something that has absolutely nothing to do with Maseches Yuma. Starting from Tanan Hasam and Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis, Rashi points out the Gemara goes into an entirely different discussion that has nothing to do with anything, but similar to our comment previously about how Maseches Tamid may have been taught by a single Tana, that all the Stam Mishnayos and Maseches Tamid were written by one Tana, we have a similar comment about Maseches Midos. So since we have a similar comment about Maseches Midos, we go into a whole discussion of Maseches Midos that again has nothing to do with Maseches Yuma. So we're going to try to prove on throughout Amar Aleph that Maseches Midos is authored by Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, and then on the bottom of Amar Aleph, the Gemara is going to say, no, maybe that proof is not such a good proof, because maybe the Mishnah and Midos that we think has to only follow the sheet of Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov could really fit with a different sheet of Rabbi Yehuda in terms of the placement of the Mizbeach. The Gemara is then going to reject that possibility, and through the course of this entire discussion, we're going to discover that we're going to discuss where everything was placed in the Beis Hamikdash, what each of the 135 amos of the width of the Heichal and the 187 amos of the length of the Beis, what everything was used for in that entire space. So let's backtrack and again begin with Tanan Hasam and Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. So Tanan Hasam says the Mishnah, and Rashi points out on the spot, Tanan Hasam b'Maseches Tamid. It says it says the following Maseches Tamid, v'lo shayich l'mikveh b'gemara de Yuma. And it really does not belong, this whole discussion does not belong in Maseches Yuma, el mishum demairi la'el, but since we were just discussing previously, b'shita ki agavna, with such a similar shita, the Bach changes to b'shita ki agavna, that man tana seder yuma, Rabbi Shimon isha mitzvihi, that all the Mishnayos of seder yuma, after we tried to suggest seder tamid, then we suggested seder yuma, that all the Mishnayos of the seder yuma, of the avodah describing the Kohen's avodah, the Beis HaMikdash, is Rabbi Shimon isha mitzvah, lo shaminin le da'amar hachi el mishum shaminin le depalaga seder tamid. And how did we know that? Because there's a stira between yuma and Maseches Tamid, so mukmi the stamid, the pligi atamid al libei. So we said that the stam Mishnayos and yuma that argue on the Mishnayos and tamid are going like Rabbi Shimon isha mitzvah. The ain't shita kazos mitzuyah begemara, kava nami lahach gabei dimetuk manami bach shitasa. So we have a similar conversation now over here about where we're also going to establish an entire Masechta to be going like Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov, to be going like a single Tana. But again, nothing to do with Maseches Yuma. So the Mishnah says over there in Maseches Tamid, the Mishnah tells us that Amr lahem amuna, the Mumuna would say to them, Tzu'uvi v'yu t'lem ilishchas peis atlaim, that everyone should go bring a t'le from the ilishchas peis atlaim. That was a room in the Beis HaMikdash where they kept animals that were rightly to be used for the Karban Tamid. So part of the process of how they would start off the day was that they would bring the animal. V'alo lishchas atlaim ha'iso b'miktsoa Tzvonis Ma'aravis. The Lishchas Atzlaim was in the northwestern corner, Va'arba Lishchas Hayusham, and there happened to have been four separate rooms in that area. Achas Lishchas Atzlaim, one of them was the Lishchas Atzlaim, Va'achas Lishchas Achosamos, the next one was the Lishchas Achosamos, Va'achas Lishchas, the Lishchas Achosamos, by the way, was the one where they would keep the, well, we learned about in Nisach HaShkalim, that when a person would want to buy Nisachim for his Karban, he'd want to buy oil and flour and wine to be able to go along with this Karban. They would sell it in the Beis HaMikdash, but it wouldn't just be that you'd go and pay for it and get the Nesachim. You'd go and you'd pay and you'd get a ticket, or you'd get some sort of coupon or a ticket, and you would take that ticket and then go and pick up the Karban. So the Chosamos is what they would use as the payment for the Karbanos. So that's Lishchas HaChosamos. Va'achas Lishchas Beis HaMokad, and then there was the Lishchas Beis HaMokad. The Lishchas Beis HaMokad was where they would have a fire going to keep Kohanim warm when they needed to warm up. V'achas lishcha she'osin b'lechem apanim. And one of the lishachos, one of these rooms, was where they would make they would produce the lechem apanim. They would make the lechem apanim each and every day. So these are the four lishchos. So says Mara Reminhu, but I'll ask you a stira. How could you say that the lishchas Beis Hatla'im, the place where they would have the animals, was in the northwestern side, but we have a different Mishnah. This Mishnah, not a Meseches Tam, but a Meseches Midos, and the Mishnah Midos says, Arba Lishchos Hayu LeBeis HaMokad, Kikitonios HaPsuchos LeTraklin, that the Beis HaMokad had four Lishchos, had four corners, four rooms in the corner of the Beis HaMokad, like small rooms off of a larger area. And the way it worked was that Shtayim BaKodesh uShtayim BaChol. Two of these rooms were in the Kodesh side of the Beis HaMokad, and two were in the Chol side of the Beis HaMokad. The Beis HaMokad itself, it was a very large room and was split. Half of it was inside the Azara, half was outside. So half was in Kodesh, half was in Chol. There is a Machlokas Rishonim, how these Lishkos were built. Were they Betoch Shetach Beis HaMokad, that they're in the area of the Beis HaMokad? You'd cut out four corners from the inside of the Beis HaMokad, and that's where these four rooms were. Or were they outside of the Beis HaMokad? The Beis HaMokad was a square, and then beyond the Beis HaMokad were these four rooms. The Rambam writes that they were built inside the Beis HaMokad. The Beis HaMokad was a bayis gadol, had four corners with these four smaller rooms inside of it. The Rush says that they were on the zavios mibachutz. They were on the corners of the Beis HaMokad, but outside of the Beis HaMokad. So, but anyway, the Mishnah Midos says that Varashi Paspasim Avdilin Ben Kodesh Lechol, they had these little pegs, these stumps in the ground that would separate the Kodesh side of the Beis HaMokad from the Chol side of the Beis HaMokad, so you could easily tell when you're crossing over from the Chol into the Kodesh. And what did they do in these four areas? What were these four rooms used for? So Ma'aravis Dromis, the southwestern room, He ha'isa lishchas talei karban. That's where the animals were kept for the karban. Dromis mizrachis, the southeastern room. He lishcha shayu osin ba lechem apanim. That's where they would make the lechem apanim. Mizrachis tzvonis ba'gantu beis chashmonai avne mizbeach sheshaksu malchei ovde kochavim. And the northeastern room is where the beis chashmonai kept the avne mizbeach after the mizbeach was ruined by the malchei ovde kochavim. After the mizbeach was ruined by the Yevanim, so they had to rebuild the mizbeach. They went, there's in Yonah de Yomah, Chanukah, they went and they had to rebuild the mizbeach. What did they do with all the old stones that they broke off of the previous mizbeach? That was kept in this lishcha, in the Mizrachis Tzfonis. Tzfonis Ma'aravis Ba Yordan LeBeis HaTvila. And then the northwestern side, that's where they would go down. There was steps to go down into a mikvah on that side, so they would be able to be yored to the Beis HaTvila from that side. But the bottom line is that we seem to have a stira about where exactly the Lishchas HaTlaim was. That on the one hand, we say the Lishchas HaTlaim was in the Tzfonis Ma'aravis of the Beis HaMokad, and on the other hand, we say that it was not in the Tzfonis Ma'aravis of the Beis HaMokad. That meaning originally we said that it was Tzfonis Ma'aravis in Meseches Tamid, and over here in Meseches Midos, this most recent Mishnah that we're quoting, we're saying that that it was in the Dromis Mizrachis, that it was in the southeastern side. That it was in the Ma'aravis Dromis, it was in the southwestern side, was the Lishchas Beis HaTlaim. So it's a stira in terms of where it was. Tosus points out, is that the only stira you got? You have a few more problems, Tosus says. The Tosus points out in the top Tosus, Tazayin Amin Aleph, the Kashalon, Lifruch Nami, about halfway through the Tosus, Lifruch Nami, de la Elka Amar, Dishar Shte Lishchoseha, Havi Lishchas HaChosamos, Vilishchas Beis HaMokad. Now, previously we said the other two Lishchos were the Lishchas HaChosamos and Lishchas Beis HaMokad. Vacha Kamar, Shebachas Ganzu Beis Chashmanai, Ubachas Yodin Beis HaTfila. Now we're coming up with an entire new things that they were doing these other lishchos, that where they hid where they put away the stones from the mizbeach, where they would go to the Beis HaTvila. So Tosfos points out what's probably an obvious answer: Yeshlomar tuva ikal lishchos u'mine kelim shemasham shashayim u'shlosha devarim. Each room does not necessarily only have a single designated purpose; they could do more than one thing in each room. So maybe that's why. Maybe that's why you find multiple functions for each room. That's not going to be a stira, that's not going to be a problem, the fact that we find multiple functions for each room. Now, in the Tshuvas Yehuda Ya'alan, or Chaim Simon Lamed, he asks, wait a second, if the Beis Chashmonai had these broken stones of the Mizbech, so what do you do when you have something that's Tashmishe Kedusha, that's used in the Beis HaMikdash, and it can no longer be used? It is now ruined, it is now destroyed. So we know what we do with Tashmishe Kedusha. We do Gneiza with Tashmishe Kedusha. We bury Tashmishe Kedusha. Why did they put him away in a room? Shouldn't they go to the Beis HaKvaros and put him away next to, bury them near Talmidei Chachamim, like we're knowing with Gneiza Svarim and with Mitpachos Shel Sifrei Torah, etc.? So he brings a raya from this to the Shita of the Taz. The Taz in Or Chaim Sim Kufnun Dalet Sifkat and Zayin says that something that's still usable does not have a din of Gneiza like Svarim that are worn out. Something that's still usable for some other purpose. So he says, Avnei Mizbeach were ra'i to use for other tashmishim. They could have been used for other things because they were only possible to be used for the Mizbeach, since they weren't Avanim Shlemos anymore. They weren't complete stones. But you could have used them to build a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, Chutz LeBeis HaMikdash, and therefore they put them away in the Lishcha so that they'll be usable whenever they needed them, which is an unbelievable Chiddush that he's suggesting. That when we say that they put away the stones, it doesn't mean that that's where the stones were meant to kept. It's meant to be kept. It's not like the shivrei luchos that are menachos ba'aron and are meant to be left menachos ba'aron forever and ever and ever. No, this is stones that were kept there for some time until the Belz of Chassidim wanted to build a shul or something. So then they would use the stones and they would build something nice with it. But it was just that's what he suggested. It was just kept there for some short amount of time. Rav Moshe writes differently. Rav Moshe Nigros Moshe says probably what's pashup shot in Or HaChaim Chelik Dalet Siman Lamed Ches. Rav Moshe writes that they put it there to remember what happened, to remember the Nes as part of the Zechut of the Nes of the Hatzalah, to remember what the Yevanim did. So the Nes that was done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Beis Yosef in Yardea Sim Reish Ayin Vav. He brings a raya from the fact that the Beis Chashmonai took apart the rest of the Mizbeach because it was ruined by the Yevanim, that there's no Isser to chisel out the Yevanim from the Mizbeach if it's L'shem Tikkun, if it's for the sake of fixing it up. So Beis Yosef suggests maybe that's only by Mizbeach where that's only true by the Mizbeach where there's no other option, meaning there's only one spot where you're allowed to build the Mizbeach. So if right now you have an unusable Mizbeach, you have no choice but to chisel it all out. Out, knock it all down and build up a new one. But maybe when it comes to other Tashmishe Kedusha, you're not allowed to knock it down, even if it's L'shem Tikkun of some sort. But that's the discussion the Beis Yosef has in terms of what we learn from the Avnei Mizbeach. It's also discussed Shaktsum Malchei Ovdei Chavim. We talk about these Avnei Mizbeach that were destroyed by the Ovdei Chavim. The Gemara in Masechet Avodah Zarah and Daf Nun Beis and Beis asks that L'chaora, a person does not have the right to Asr Davar She'eino Shelo. If let's say we know that Avodah Zarah is Asr Ba'ana. So if I walk out of my house one day and I find my next door neighbor bowing down to my car and treating it like an Avodah Zarah, so my car doesn't become Asr to me. He's not the most of Davar She'eino Shelo. He has no right to make something that doesn't belong to him asr. So how are the goyim able to asr the mizbeach that it caused the Beis Chashmonai to have to rip down the whole thing? It wasn't shaykh to them. It belongs to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Einad the most of davar sheino shalom. So the Gemara over there says that even though the MS they can't asr something that doesn't belong to them, but over here we darshan an isser from the pasuk ubo bapritzim v'chiluluha. That specifically the pasuk is mechadish to us that there's such a thing as being mechalel the mizbeach that even though normally it's a rule breaker, but you can be mechal the mizbeach. Rashi explains that since the Ovdei Chavim entered the Heichal, all of the kelim became chulin, and therefore they were kone mina hefker. Once it becomes chulin, it no longer belongs to the gavoah, no longer belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So once it's chulin, that's how he explains the mechanism of the chiluluha. That the chiluluha means it's no longer under the ownership of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Also gevaldik chiddush, but that's how Rashi explains that Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. So there is a discussion: is this true of Batei Knesios as well? Rachmana Litzlan, after the Holocaust, there were many, many shuls that the Nazis came in and they completely destroyed and they ripped apart the entire shul. Do we assume that Chilaluha, that it loses its Kedusha because the Nazis came in and destroyed it? The Rambam writes, for instance, well, how do we understand exactly the Chilaluha? They were Mechala Lahaleria. The Rambam writes in Hilchus Beis HaBechir in Parag Zayin that even though the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed nowadays, we're still Chayiv in Mora Mikdash, just like it was when it was around, and we're not allowed to go there when we're tamei, and we're not allowed to be noi kalas rosh in the makom. The Rambam in Parag Vav Halachat Hazayin of Beis Abachira says famously that the kedushas hamigdash in Yerushalayim is kitcha l'shaita v'kitcha l'asulavo, because the kedushas hamigdash in Yerushalayim is kedusha of the shechina, and shechina in a betela, the shechina doesn't go away. So what exactly does it mean v'chiluluha? What do you mean they're mechalalit? The kedusha is still there. How can you say that they're mechalal any sort of kedusha? So Rabbi Yashiv writes in his Ha'aros on Maseches Yuma over here, he says, Nira Poshut, Da'afal pi debo pritzim chalulua v'otziu ha'kedusha l'chulin, even though they came and they were motzi at l'chulin, Eina kavana din schalal hamakom me kedusha, so the place doesn't lose its kedusha, ela kavana de bedin mamon hegdish yatza l'chulin vein kan mi'ila. In the dine mamonis element of it, that this property belongs to hegdish, it's no longer considered to belong to hegdish, and therefore it's no longer a violation of mi'ila to be nehene from it. V'amamon shayich la'akum. The money, monetarily, belongs to the goyim. Kivin dechillo have a hefker, because once they were mechalal it, it becomes hefker, and therefore they were zoch in it. But the etzem kedusha is still there. That's kayam li'olam. So maybe you could say the same thing. If you say that by the makom of the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to question, would we say the same thing by the makom of the Beis HaKnesses? So it's at least that's at least debatable. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Now, so we have this stira. Where exactly was the Lishkos Beis HaTzlaim? A stira between Maseches Tamid and Maseches Midos. Answers the Gemara 5 lines in on Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Huna Man Tana Midos. Reb Lozer Ben Yaakov, who's the Tana, that the Stam Tana in all of Maseches Midos? Midos was taught by Reb Lozer Ben Yaakov. So you could assume that it's not a stira, it's a machlok. That Maseches Tamid is some other shita, and Maseches Midos is Rav Lozer ben Yaakov. Ditnan, we have a Mishnah. Ezra's Nashim, we're going to show how Midos was Rav Lozer ben Yaakov. That it's got to be that Midos was authored by Rav Lozer ben Yaakov. Ezra's Nashim, I saw Orech Mea Ushloshim L'Chamesh, Al Rochav Mea Vishloshim L'Chamesh. The Ezra's Nashim in the Beis HaMikdash was 135 by 135 Amos. The Ezra's Nashim was not limited only for women. The Ezra's Nashim was the only way in. Actually, I mean, it was the way you would get into the Azara, the way you'd have to walk through the Ezra's Nashim. So the Ezra's Nashim was 135 Amos by 135 Amos. And it also had four rooms off in the corners of the Ezra's Nashim. What were those four rooms for? The four rooms in the corners of the Ezra's Nashim? Well, Dramus Mizrachis, the southeastern room, he hi. We have to realize that just in terms of the geography of all of this, when we go to the Kosel HaMaravi, we're on the opposite side. Right? And Harazesim is the other side of the Beis HaMikdash. We're on the opposite. We're behind the Kodesh HaKadashim. We're right behind the Kodesh HaKadashim. That's the Kosel HaMaravi. Meaning we have to just reorient ourselves, because when we think about going on the Har HaBayis, we think about going from the west. But the Mishnayos are always talking about going from the east. They're talking about going from east to west to the up to the Har HaBayis, because that's where the Kedusha goes up and up and up, from the Har HaBayis to the Ezra's Nashim, to the Zaret, etc., to the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadosh. So that's where we that's just to orient ourselves properly. So that's what we're discussing. So anyway, so the Ezra's Nashim itself. So picture of the Dromus Mizrachus, the southeastern side. Here is a Lishchas HaNiz. Nazirim. That was the lishcha of the Nazirim. Shasham Nazirim mevashlam shalmehen. That's where a Nazir would cook his carbon shlamim. Umegalchin sa'aran. That's where they would shave their hair. Umeshalchin tachas hadud. Part of the process of what a Nazir would do is he would take the shorn hair at the conclusion of his Nazirus and throw it underneath a pot in the fire that was cooking. Mizrachis tzfonis, the northeastern side, he aysa lishchas dir ha'etim. That was the lishcha, or lishchas ha'etim. That was the lishcha that were of the wood. Shesham kohanim bali mumin. Omdin Matlin Be'etzim, and that's where the Kohanim who had a mum who were not kosher to do the avoda, so they had to have some job in the Beis Hamikdash. So their job was to deworm the wood. Shekal Eitz Sheish Bo Talaas Pasul Legabe Mizbeach, because any eitz, any piece of wood that had a worm in it, was pasul to be used on the Mizbeach. Why was a wormy wood possible to use on the Mizbeach? So first of all, what does it even mean? Matli and Asa Eitzim. The Rambam writes in his Perush of Mishnayos and Midos that it doesn't mean that they would deworm the wood, that they would remove worms from the wood. It means that they would throw away any wood that had worms in it. You know, sometimes people ask me questions about checking vegetables for bugs. So there are two different kavanas that people have, I've discovered. Some people are asking about how to clean the bugs out of vegetables. Other people are asking, how do I know if there is a bug there? Because if it is, I'm throwing away the whole thing anyway. I don't want to clean it out. I just want to get rid of it. So that's the shiloh over here. When we talk about, yeah, you find the wood that has worms in it. Now what do you do? Do you clean the worms out of the wood? Or do you just chuck the whole thing and get rid? So the Rambam says, no, they would chuck the whole thing. They wouldn't, if it had worms in it, forget about it. They were mesalkin sometimes means that you just get rid of the entire thing. But what's the problem? Why can't the wood have worms in it? So Tosiyantav has trouble. He says, what's the makar for this din? That any eitz that has tolas is possible for the Mizbeach. So the Rambam writes in Yisrim Mizbeach, Perek Vav, Halacha Beis, Mashma at least, that the gedder of the psul is that it's not tamim. It's like a carbon that has a balmum. Because the Rambam quotes this din as a hemshech to what he says over there in Halacha Aleph of Yisrim Mizbeach, when he talks about the psul of balimum by karbonos. So right after he talks about psul of balimum by karbonos, he says, yeah, and similarly, wood that has worms in it is also no good. So it sounds like that it's a psul of balmum, that the wood has a mum. So anything that's brought on the Mizbeach can't be a balmum, and a wood that's wormy is wood that's a balmum, which is also phenomenal chiddush in terms of the geder of what wood is, that we view mamish like a carbon, like kache Mizbeach, like a regular carbon, which would have such a thing as a psul of balmum. That's how the Rambam implies. The Mi'iri, however, says that the reason of the psul by Eitzim Etulayim, unbelievable, he also has a Chiddush, he says, because worms aren't kosher, and you're not allowed to bring a davar tameh al gabi mizbeach. So it sounds like the psul is not the wood, the psul is the worms, right? So it seems that the nafkamina between the Mi'iri and the Rambam, do you throw the whole wood out, or do you just deworm it? According to the Mi'iri, as long as you get the worms out of the wood, l'chara, it should be absolutely fine. You've removed the worms, so you have no davar tameh on the mizbeach anymore. According to the Rambam, though, it's a mum in the wood, that the fact that that worms have eaten through it makes the wood bali mum. Another nafkamina might be, what if kosher animals have pecked holes in the birds that pecked holes in the wood? Kosher birds, Yonah has pecked holes in the wood. So I saw Rav Zilberstein discuss that shaila Yonim. I was all excited because I read it first Yevanim. I'm like, Yevanim pecked holes in the wood, because you're in Hanukkah mode. You know, you read things a certain way. But if birds pecked holes in the wood, so is that going to pass it? If you hold that it's din balmum, so the wood is a balmum. But if you hold it's din davar tameh, well then even if the birds are still stuck in there, it wouldn't be a problem of using that wood because they're not a davar tameh. Sefer, he says the third reason. He says the reason is because tolayim are not royal levar by mahesh. They're not fuel. They don't help the fire burn any better. And the wood has to be entirely something that enables the fire to burn more easily. So that's what he suggests, that it's not going to work. If there are worms in the animal, well, no, in the limbs of the animal. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I guess you'd have to try to get rid of that too. I don't know. It doesn't make it a balmum, meaning it might be right, but maybe that would be enough kamina, right? If it's a non-kosher thing on the, yeah, maybe that would be a problem. Yeah, so Tzfonis Ma'aravis, going back to the discussion over here, Tzfonis Ma'aravis, the northwestern side, he ha'isa lishchas ha'mitzorayim, that was the lishcha of the mitzorayim. Ma'aravis dromis, and the southwestern side, Amar Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, this is why we quoted the whole thing, because Amar Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov says, shachachti ma'aisa mishameshes, he says, I forgot what it's all about. But the point is, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is the one that said it. And then, Abishalom erba, inosin yayin v'shem v'yayin, Yosef Nikris Lishkos Beis Shemanya. That's where they kept the oil and the wine, and that's why they called it the oil room, which is interesting that they called it the oil room and not the wine room. Oil is perhaps more valuable than wine, so that's why they called it the oil room, but that's where they kept the oil and the wine. But the whole point is, the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was the first Tana, and it was only Abba Shaul that came afterwards, shows us that Stam Mishnayos and Maseches Midos are like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So that's one raya, that Stam Mishnayos are like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Now the Gemara says the more complicated raya, not so complicated, you just have to picture it, because we're going to just, the Mishnah is just going to go through the picture of what the Beis HaMikdash looked like. So Achinami Mistavra, it's most Mistavra to assume that the Mishnayos and Midos are like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Achinami Mistavra, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's not, because we also learned the Maseches Midos as follows. Kolak Salim Shahayusham, all of the different walls that separated between the different parts of the Beis HaMikdash complex, Hayu Gavoan, were very tall, were very high walls. Chutz Mikosel Mizrachi, Shakoin Asarif Asapara Omid Bara Mishcha, Umachavim Varoa Keneged Pischo Shal Hechal, Bishas Hazas Adam. Except for the easternmost wall, because the Kohen, when he would go to be Sarif the Para Aduma, would stand on Harazesim. When he was Sarif the Para Aduma, there was this giant ramp that would go from Arabayas to Harazesim, where they would take the Para Aduma for burning, and the Kohen had to be facing, at the time of the sprinkling of the dam of the Para Aduma, he had to be facing toward the Pesach of the Heichal, and he had to be able to see inside. So all the way from Harazesim, he had to have an unobstructed view that would go right through into the Heichal. Now, if the walls were too high, they would obstruct his view. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, one of the walls, the Kosel Mizrachi, had to be a little bit lower in order for the Kohen to be able to see through. Now, the Gemara is about to demonstrate that only according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov does it make sense to say that you need to have the wall lowered in order to be able to see through. According to all the other shitos, the wall could be normal height and you would still be able to see through. It is only Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov who would say that the wall, the Kosel Mizrachi, has to be low in order to be able to see through. Utnan. The Mishnah says all of the what does it mean that this wall was shorter? Shorter than what? How tall were the walls in general? So he says, well, all of the doorways that were there were 20 amos high and 10 amos wide. So with the Kohen's going to peer right through the doorways into the Heichal. Every single doorway was 20 amos high. Now, he's obviously not going to be able to see the full 20 amos because the Harabayis is on an incline, but he just needs some space to be able to see through in the doorway, somewhere in that 20 amos of height. So, Tanan, so let's go through the Mishnah where it goes through how the Harabayis complex worked. Lifnimi menu Soreg, that right inside where the Harabayis started, there was an area called the Soreg. Soreg was like a small fence, a very small mechitza that was like latticework fence that they would make around the area of the Harabayis, and front, between the Soreg and the first set of steps, there was just some empty space. That space was called the Chel. So Lefnimi Menu was the Soreg. Utnan Lefnimi Menu Achel Eser Amos. There was 10 Amos beyond the Soreg where it was just empty space. V'shtemesre Malos Hayusham Rom Malach Chatziyama B'shilcha Chatziyama. And then you would hit an area before the Ezras Nashim of 12 steps. From the Chel, you'd go to an area of 12 steps. Each step was one half amma high and one half amma wide. So for a total of 6 amos of height. So that would lift you off the ground 6 amos. They had to continually build steps because, again, it's a mountain. They're building the thing on a mountain. So they had to continually build steps. So it was to get up toward the Ezras Nashim, you had 12 steps, half amma high, half amma wide for each step. Tesvav, where am I? Yeshem Esrei Malos Hayisham Rom Malachatz Yama V'Shil Chatz Yama. Tesvav Malos Olus Mitocha Hayordos Mezrus Yisrael Lezrus Nashim. I don't know why it switches our orientation when it describes the steps that go from the Ezras Nashim to the Ezras Yisrael, and it starts describing it from the Ezras Yisrael side of things. The way we would normally continue to describe this, as you then continue through the Ezras Nashim, 135 amos of the Ezras Nashim, you would then go up another 15 steps to the Ezras Yisrael. The steps that would lead up to the Ezras Nashim were in a straight line. The steps that would lead from the Ezras Nashim to the Ezras Yisrael were in a semicircle. But either way, there were 15 steps that would go from the Ezras Nashim up into the Ezras Yisrael, and these steps also were Rom Mala Chatziyama V'Shilcha Chatziyama, were half an amma tall and a half an amma wide. Utnan Beinu Ulam V'Lamazbeach Chaf Beis Amma. So great, now you're into the Ezras Yisrael. Between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, there were 22 amos of space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. Ushteim Esrei Malos Hayusham. And there were 12 steps there. Rom Malach Chatziyama V'Shilcha Chatziyama. And each step was 12, was half an amma tall and half an amma across. Now, it was over a span of 22 amos. If you do the math, if it was just 12 straight steps, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't take up a space of 22 amos. So there were several landings along the way. There were sets of three steps, four sets of three steps, and after each three steps, there was a wider landing. But the steps themselves were a half an amma by a half an amma. So now we're right near the Mizbech. Now we're up against the Mizbech. Utznan, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Maila hisa sham ugavoa amma. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, there was an additional step of one more amma, and that amma is going to make all the difference. V'ducha nosna leha ubo shalosh mal shel chatzi chatzi amma. And they had a duchan built on that one amma step, which had three other steps of a half an amma each. So essentially what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov has added to the height is 2.5 ammas. He's added 2.5 ammas to the height of what's going to block the doorways. So yam bishlama Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov he hainu de'ichsele pischa. So I understand very well, if you say that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's all going to be blocked off. If you see a picture, or just to figure out how it works, the chel is 6 amos high. The steps from the chel into the Ezras Nashim were the 15 steps were 7.5 amos. Meaning the chel was the first 12 steps were 6 amos. The next 15 steps are 7.5 amos. Then you have the duchan, which is an amma, and then between the ulam and the mizbeach, you have another 6 amos. What you essentially have is 20.5 amos of steps that are gonna block your way. So if you have 20.5 amos of steps, and the lowest doorway is 20 amos, so you're not gonna be able to see through that doorway at all. It's gonna be entirely blocked. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I understand that you have the area blocked, but Eli Iamrit Rabbanan. But if you're going to say it's the Rabbanan, Ha'ika Palga Da Amsa De Mischazi Le Pischa Begavei, so you're still going to have the whole height that's blocked off is only 19.5 amos. So if you have a Pesach of 20 amos, you should be able to see through that top half an amma. Elav Shmaminor Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So it must therefore be that we're assuming like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So that's the difference with between Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan, is that extra duchan that they added. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's 20.5 amos, and according to the Rabbanan, it's 19.5 amos. So that half an amma, it's unbelievable that the Kohen is going to see through from Harazesim in 3 tefachim of space. That's what it means. He sees through into the Hechel, that he's looking, he's peering through a full three tefachim of space. So that's what the Gemara suggests, that you see from there that the Stam Mishnah Maseches Midos, that assumes that the wall, the first wall, must have been much lower in order for him to be able to see through, must be assuming like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So says the Gemara, Rav Ad Bar Ava Amar, no, how do you know it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Maybe Hamani Rabbi Yehuda he. Maybe it's assuming like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? How could it be Rabbi Yehuda? Meaning, maybe Enochinami. The entire height that would block off the area is only 19.5 amos. But there was something else. It wasn't an unobstructed view. The Mizbeach was in the way. If the Mizbeach was centered properly, so then it was right in the way. You're not going to be able to see right through to the Echel. So it says, Mar Detanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMizbeach Memutza Va'omev Be'emtza Azara, that the Mizbeach stood right in the middle of the Azara, that's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that the Mizbeach was not pushed off to one side or the other of the Azara. It was directly in the middle of the Azara. U'shloshim shayim amos hayulo, and it was 32 amos, Eser amos kereged pischo shel heichal, 10 amos blocked off the entire width of the opening of the heichal, and then yiral amal atzafon, viral amal adarom. Another 11 amos of the mizbeach was to the northern side of the doorway to the heichal, and another 11 amos to the southern side of the doorway to the heichal. So mamish stood right in the middle and blocked off the whole entranceway to the heichal. Nimtzum mizbeach mechuvan kineged heichal v'kasalav. So it turns out that the mizbeach was right between the heichal and its walls. Now the Chassam Sofer very famously writes in the Tshuva, in Archaim Simul Chav Ches, that against the Maskilim who wanted to be Meshana the Makom Anach Sabim and Neshul. One of the big things Chassam Sofer was fighting was that the reformers who their some of their first moves were to make a shul look a little more like a church. So one of the things that they did was they moved the Mizbeach from the middle of, they moved the Bima from the middle of the shul to the front of the shul. So Chassam Sofer says that's aser to do. You're not allowed to move it to the front of the shul. And he says the Bima is connected to the Mizbeach. We know that a shul, the Beis HaKnesses, is referred to by the Gemara Maseches Megillah as a Mikdash Ma'at, and there are many, many parallels between the real Beis HaMikdash and a Beis HaKnesses, and one of them is the Makom Hanachas HaBima, is exactly where we put the Bima. So they would put it near the reformers wanted to put it near the Aron Kodesh, like they do in the Beis Tiflis, like they do in the churches, and he says that since we compare it to the Mizbeach, and that's why we go around it on Chag HaSukkos. Meaning, why is it that we do our kafos around the bima? What does the bima have to do with anything? No, because the bima is connected to the mizbeach, and that's what they did in the Beis Hamikdash around the mizbeach from Makif and Ba'aravos. So you see that the mizbeach, and we see over here Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, it's right in the middle. So even though the bima also zechut to the mizbeach should be right in the middle of the Beis HaKnesses. So anyway, so the Gemara says maybe it's going like Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe this idea that one of the walls had to be lower in order for the Kohen to see through was like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Mizbeach would be in the way. Says Tosfos, we have other people we could have, other Tanaim we could have associated this with as well. Haman Rabbi Yehuda Dar Mizbeach Mutsa, says Tosfos, v'ichsile piska begovu shal Mizbeach ha'omei b'fanuv mafsiko v'achinami avimatsi l'meimar Rabbi Shimoni. I mean, first he describes what the problem is according to Rabbi Yehuda, that the height of the Mizbeach gets in the way, but he says, you know, v'achinami avimatsi l'meimar Rabbi Shimoni. We also could have said that it's going like Rabbi Shimon. Dom Parakezu Mekoman Kule Mizbeach Betzafon Kai. Rabbi Shimon's the entire Mizbeach was on the northern side. But nevertheless, the Mizbeach va'akevesh mechasin b'fnei ha-Pesach. Still, between the Mizbeach and the ramp of the Mizbeach, meaning the northern side means it starts halfway through the doorway. So halfway through the Pesach, half of the Pesach is certainly blocked off by the Mizbeach. What about the other half of the Pesach? So you have the ramp of the Mizbeach. The ramp of the Mizbeach is on an incline. So at what point does that incline get low enough that you'd be able to still see through the doorway? So he says, if you do the math, the afal pisha kevesh yoridu mishapel etzad adorom, even though the ramp goes downward toward the southern side, nevertheless, a medaktik yavin, someone who does geometry, will realize shekodem sheyarad govo shnei amos, before this 32 amos long ramp went down 2 amos from its 10 amos of height, shnei amos of mechza, to went down 2.5 amos from its height, nafka leshipuo mikneged ha-Pesach. So it would already be beyond where the Pesach is, meaning already the incline will already be past where the Pesach is. So it would still block off the Pesach. And he says, or we could have said that it's going like Rabbi Yossi, that Mizbeach is Mimutza. He also has a Mizbeach is Mimutza, is right in the middle. But why do we say it's Daf going like Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda is the most explicit. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that most explicitly says that the Mizbeach was right there blocking the doorway. So that's why we dafka assume that it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, but we could have said other shitos as well. So anyway, so it says Gemara, how can you be sure that this Tam Mishnah Maseches Midos is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, this Tam Mishnah that says that the Kohen who was sorry for the Paran Har HaZeisim and needed the wall to be low so that he's able to peer through does not only have to go like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, maybe it's going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe all the Tam Mishnah and Maseches Midos are like Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara, Visal Kadaitach Midos Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Yimizbeach Be'em Sa'azara Mi Mishkachas Lei. But wait a second. According, if you assume that the Mishnayos and Midos are going like Rabbi Yehuda, well, let's see where the Mishnayos and Midos place the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yehuda places the Mizbeach right in the middle. Where do the Mishnayos and Midos place the Mizbeach? Vatnan, we have a Mishnah. We have a Mishnah in Maseches Midos, in the fifth parak of Midos, it says as follows. It lays out the Azara for us. Let's see where it puts the Mizbeach in the Azara. Kol Azara is ha'orech mea ushmonim v'sheva al rochav mea v'shloshim v'chamesh. The entire Azara was 187 amos long by 135 amos wide. So as we're walking from the Ezra Sinashim to the Ezra Yisrael into the Azara, we're going further and further in, we're going along the length. So that's 187 amos long. 135 amos wide is the Azara from right to left as you're walking from, which is north-south. So that's why, again, orient ourselves north-south, but it's right to left as we'd be walking in closer and closer. So the entire Azara is 187 amos by 135 amos. So min hamizrach l'marav, so east to west is 187 amos. Makom drisas ragle Yisrael yoda aleph ama. The first 11 amos of the Azara is where Yisrael is allowed to walk. That's just the first 11 amos. Makom drisas ragle kohanim yoda aleph ama. Then the next 11 amos is where Yisrael is not allowed to walk. That is not the only place that Kohen is allowed to go. Kohen is actually allowed to go further. We're saying makom drisas ragle kohanim in that there's nothing else there other than the fact that Yisrael is not allowed to go there. It's not being taken up by anything. There's nothing there. It's just 11 amos where Yisrael is not allowed to go. Mizbeach, then you hit the Mizbeach. Now, obviously, Kohen's allowed to go on the Mizbeach also and around the Mizbeach. So then you hit the Mizbeach, which is Shlosh Mishtaim, which takes up another 32 amos. Bein Ha'ulam v'la Mizbeach, Esr Mishtaim. Then you have the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, which is 22 amos. And then and that's where the steps were. That's where those 12 steps were. The 22 amos going up from the Mizbeach, from the area of the Mizbeach toward the Heichal, toward the Ulam. So the Heichal Kuf Amen. The Heichal itself was 100 amos long. And then behind the Kodesh HaKadosh, behind where the whole Heichal was, there was an additional 11 amos. Min hadarum l'tzafon, meir shloshim v'chamesh. Now from north to south, which again is right to left as you're walking in, but from north to south is 135 amos. Now here's the key. This is where we want to know. Is the Mizbeach going to be placed smack in the middle, north to south, or is the Mizbeach going to be placed a little bit toward the north? Is it going to, so where are we going to find the Mizbeach? So here's how the Mishnah says, Hakevash HaMizbeach Shish Mishtayim. The Mizbeach and its ramp were 62 amos. So there's going to be, is it, there are three possibilities. Either it's right in the middle, or it's a little bit to the north, or it's pushed a little bit to the south. So which is it? So the Kevash and the Mizbeach is Shisha Mushtaim, is a total of 62 amos. Min haMizbeach l'Tabaos, from the Mizbeach to the area of the rings where they would hold the animals down, the rings that would hold an animal down for Shechita, was Ches Amos, was 8 amos. Makom haTabaos, Esrim v'Arba. The rings itself took up a space of 24 amos. Min haTabaos l'Shulchanos, Arba, between the Tabaos, where they would check the animals, and the Shulchanos, where they would dismember the animals, was 4 amos. Min haShulchanos l'Nanasin, Arba. From the Shulchanos to the Nanasin, a Nanas is a midget, but they were like these little posts that they would hang the animal for skinning. So from the Shulchanos to those little posts where they would have hooks and hang the animal for skinning was 4 amos. Min haNanasin l'Kosel Azara, Ches amos. And from the Nanasin to the Kosel of the Azara was an additional 8 amos. Va'amosar ben hakevesh l'kosel umakom ananasin. All the other space that you have, the remaining 21 amos that you have to account for, took up for the space of the nanasin and the other side of the kevesh, meaning the southernmost side of the area. So if you split that evenly, you assume the nanasin were 10.5 amos, and to the south of the ramp was 10.5 amos. So if you do the cheshbon, you're dealing with a 135 amos wide room. So starting from left to right, you have 10.5 amos, followed by 32 amos of a ramp of a mizbeach. So the Mizbeach starts 42 amos into roughly 42.5 amos into a room that is 135 amos wide. So the Mizbeach is most definitely not right in the middle of the room. It's not placed exactly at the center. It's going to be a little bit off to the south. So Yisal Kadai Tach Midas Rabbi Yehuda Hamizbeach Beem Sazar Mimishkach Say Haruba Dimizbeach Bedarum Kai. If you're going to say that it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Stam Mishnayos and Masech Midos are Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't work because the way the Mishnayos and Midos set up the Mizbeach, the majority of the Mizbeach is on the southern side of the room. In fact, none of the Mizbeach extends to the northern side of the Pesach of the Heichal. Right, the way Rabbi Yehuda had it is 11 amos. The Mizbeach goes 11 amos past the northern side of the Pesach of the Heichal. It goes 11 amos in each direction. But over here, it's mostly on the southern side. So you can't say it's all like Rabbi Yehuda. So it says Gemara, Elalav, Shema Minah, Rabbi Lozman Yaakov, Yishma Minah. So like we said originally, that the old Mishnayos, 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 is like Rabbi Lozman Yaakov. So again, why did we learn this entire daf? Just for that one comment, that all of this is like Rabbi Lozman Yaakov. Just like the Mishnayos and Mishnayos Yuma are all like Rabbi Shimon Yishai Mitzvah, so too, all the Mishnayos and Mishnayos Midos are like Rabbi Lozman Yaakov. And don't think it's Rabbi Yehuda. It's all Rabbi Lozman Yaakov. Okay.